The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And this morning, challenge our hearts with the reality of your love. Let's leave this place better persons in the name of Jesus. You came in here with a need. Your need is met this morning. In the name of Jesus. You came in here with a struggle. The struggle has ended this morning. In the name of Jesus. Whatever harassed you in the past will not harass you again after this meeting. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Hallelujah. Let's get straight into the word. So today, we'll be teaching. Are you excited about that? Let me look your neighbor, look to the left and look to the right and welcome the person warmly to this meeting. Are you happy to see the person? You know, these days you should be excited to see your neighbor because maybe next Sunday the person might just attend second service and you won't see the person. So tell the person, I'm excited to see you. I don't know if you're going to be in second service next Sunday, but for this Sunday, I'm happy to see you. So I'll begin to teach on supernatural love. Hallelujah. So we lay the foundation today and we begin to run. And in case you came here because you wanted to learn about how to love in your relationship, you've come to the right place. I may not actually say what you want to hear, but it's going to be mind-blowing. So I'll start by saying, are you ready for the word of God, guys? Come on, talk to me. Are you ready for the word of God? If you're not excited at what I want to say, I'm not going to say it. Are you ready for the word of God? Yeah, you should be excited now. Glory to God. The word of God is sharp in my mouth. Very, very sharp in my mouth. We spare nothing. Sharper than two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So, the love, what we call walking in love, is the physical evidence of the new birth. It's the physical proof. I didn't say that's the only proof. The proof that a person is born again is that a person has accepted Jesus. The proof to God is that God sees his heart. The Holy Ghost is in his heart. But when we talk about the physical proof, the physical evidence that someone is born again, it's not actually speaking in tongues. It's actually walking in love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, as important as speaking in tongues may be, and as important as it is that we don't downplay it, the very physical proof of the new birth is not every other thing. It's walking in love. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Say, we know. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. And so the way we know that a person has passed from death to life, one of the first things that will begin to manifest in the person's life is that his love walk becomes heightened. He begins to walk in what we call, and I'm going to teach throughout this month, what we call the God kind of love. The word in the Greek called agape. Are you following me? He begins to walk. He said, he that loveth not his brother. What he's saying is, if you don't have that love we're talking about dwelling in you, you are abiding in death. And that's spiritual death right there. So how do we know we have passed from death into life? Is by the love which was the brethren. And so I tell people all the time, the litmus test of spirituality is love. It's not even carrying big Bible and whatever, as important as those things are. In James chapter 2 and verse 15, what I'm going to share this month is going to revolutionize your life. I'm telling you, your relationship, your family, you're married, you're single, every aspect of your life. He said, if a brother or sister be naked, pay attention. I'm trying to show you that the physical proof that you are saved to people Is your love work? If your brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food,
continue.
The guy cannot eat. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled. So you are prophesying, be filled. Food is yours in Jesus' name. He said, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit you?
Continue.
What does it profit you? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead. I've explained to you, this faith without works is dead. He said, now, faith is actually what pleases God. But as far as man is concerned, for man to be pleased by your faith, that your faith needs to have work. And the work that faith needs to have, as we are seeing in this verse, is love.
Are you following me, guys? Look at verse 18.
The work is love. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith. That's the key. Thou hast faith, I have works. He said, what James is teaching is, show me thy faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So how do you show your faith to the world?
By your works.
So your faith in Christ Jesus can only, is the best way to show it is by your love work. By your love work. By your love work. As a matter of fact, we learn that the major injunction of the New Testament, the major instruction, the major commandment the believer was given in the New Testament is not actually many things. It's to walk in love. And I'll show you like first scripture about that. In John chapter 13, I have a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to rush because I want us to really cover a lot of grounds. In John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. He said, a new commandment. Jesus was talking. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Then so, he's saying, he was about to die. He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. See the next verse. I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another. But by this shall all men know that you are what? How would they know? If you have love one to another. So how people actually know that you are saved is by your love work.
Are you following me?
And that's why, you see, if at the foundation of Christian conduct and Christian character, is what I'm showing you. You see, I believe if we get, this mode is going to be powerful. If we get love work right, in the Christian whatever, if we get it right, all the other things we are fighting about, don't steal, don't lie, don't this, is done.
Do you understand me?
If you love someone, you won't steal from the person.
Do you understand me?
If you love someone, you won't wake up suddenly and want to destroy the person's life. If you love someone, you won't steal. You know, when people talk about, you know, this last week, and I don't like commenting on trends, but sometimes I just talk about it. Last week, it's been all over the internet. People are trying to fight the whole internet fraud thing, the whole, because a pastor, how many of you saw that video? A pastor was like, if you are into Yahoo, I curse Yahoo. No, this actually is I curse you. He said, I curse that spirit of Yahoo or whatever. And people began to fight. The reason people can simply sit down on their phone and press and take people's money and they don't feel hurt is because the love of God is not in their hearts. If they've ever taken your 1-5, 1-5, it doesn't need to be too much. If they've ever taken your 1-5, you will know that if you have love, you won't take somebody's money. So the foundation of Christian conduct is love work. Talk about what immorality and all that. Okay, before we even get, talk about sexual promiscuity. You find one guy trying to play with 3, 4, 5 girls, trying to deceive. He doesn't love them. If love work is well taught, he will know that you cannot be playing with people's emotions like that. Let me get the point. If we get love work right, many other things will not be missing. The proof of our salvation and our whatever to man, at least physically. Look at Romans 13 verse 8. That's the proof is love work. Romans 13 and verse 8. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. Read with me. For he that loveth another has what? fulfill the law. You see, if you get love work right, you are done with the whole law. Who's following me? If you get it right, you're done with the whole law. Look at verse 9. If you get love work right, he said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, if that be another commandment. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As simple as that. You see, every thou shalt not is summarized in one sentence. Love your neighbor. Do you understand me? Love your neighbor. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Hallelujah. The fulfilling of the law. When the Bible said that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible said, talking about the new covenant, he said, the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws in their hearts. Today's covenant I'll make with the house of Israel, and after those days, say the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. The law that God said he will write in the hearts of men is not 10 commandments. It is the law of love. Are you following me? The major law, what God wants us to do as far as this whole new covenant thing is concerned, is that we walk in love. And once we get that fact right, every other thing falls in place. Once we get it right, I believe that 85% or 9% of the sin people commit is working out of love. That is what will birth every other thing. Do you understand? E.W. Kenyon was writing in his book, A New Kind of Love. And he said, the God kind of love has never been to a divorce court. That shook me. What it means is, if we get it right, there will be no divorce. Next week, we're going to look at this love more critically. There will be no divorce. Because it teaches you that there is nothing you cannot forgive. Nothing. I get the point. But then, we've not gotten it right. And so, I will write my laws in their heart is talking about the love law. The law of love. That is the major injunction of the New Testament. That is the major thing God wants us to do. I sense the teaching anointing again. Okay, so, right again. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8, that's the major thing that God will have us do. I'll touch the scriptures again before we close, like 2-3 times again. He said, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. So I write a new commandment. Continue. A new commandment. God, he said, he that said he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. So, how we can test your born again sheep, right, is your love walk. Your love walk. He said, Asa, is it no longer about believing in Jesus? So, that's what I said. I didn't say that's how you are saved. How we can know? Do you understand what I'm saying? If God sees the other one, you believe Jesus' faith is in your heart. I'm not there. Faith is there. God is there. It's you and God that know if you believe. Do you understand me? How do we know? When I was teaching you guys during the retreat, I said, if anything you do in ministry, anything, including this thing I'm preaching now, and it's not born out of love for God and love for people, it is nonsense. Remember, I showed you that. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I didn't plan to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. From verse 1. So we put up like NLT. I like to see the screen. If it's included this in I'm preaching now. Because you can actually preach and do ministry and do power move without love in your heart. And you're doing it from a place of envy. You're doing it from a place of jealousy. Some people start church because somebody has started church. Some start pastoring because everybody's now a pastor. Say, they're not pastor. I think it's only them that can pastor. The anointing also works on this guy. So I'll start pastoring. Look at this. If I could speak with all the languages, speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but in love others, I would only be a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. It gets more interesting. Continue. In verse 2. Verse 2, verse 3, it gets interesting. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge. He said, if, imagine that's possible. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, That guy is a dead raiser. But didn't love others, I would be nothing. See verse 3. Very interesting. If I gave this one, always shakes me whenever I read it. If I gave everything I have to the poor. So, I mean, the guy is a philanthropist. He sold everything he has in his house and even sacrificed my body. He said, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The things you do for God with God and you do for people loses value if it is not born out of a place of love. So you see what the Bible is saying. So is it possible to give all your properties to the poor and there is no love in your heart? The Bible said it's possible. So you see what I was teaching you guys, the man God uses. Man will look at what you are doing. God is looking right in your heart. I get what I'm saying. And in your heart. Well, that's not for today. I don't want to go back to that teaching again. And so, the instruction we are giving is to love. And let me say this to you. The love I'm talking about today is actually supernatural. What I mean is, by the time I start teaching, the love I'm talking about is not what anybody can do by the natural. You see, by the time, anytime I read Jesus' instruction on love, all that keeps ringing in my heart is impossible, impossible, impossible. Impossible. Amen? Matthew 5:38, I'll show you one or two. Impossible. You see, that's why I'm saying, it's not the one they talk about on Facebook. Because what they talk about all over the world, as this is Valentine month now, one way to define the love people is talking about is selfish love. It's selfish. Look at the love of Jesus. If I put up NLT so that this will be entering as I'm reading it. You have heard the law that says punishment must match injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Hallelujah. Quickly, quickly continue. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone, this is not a parable. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. See, that's the kind of love we are talking about. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry his 2 miles. Are you getting me, guys? Give to those who ask. Don't turn away those who want to borrow. Continue. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44, we'll stop there. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You see, we've not taught well in church. So what Jesus is saying is, I walk up to you and intimidate you and slap you. And you go home. And your prayer point is, Father, thank you for that brother. Bless him. Bless him. Prosper him. How possible? See, prosper him. Open doors for him. Let him meet good things in this life. May nothing go wrong. And you are praying from your heart. Whatever be the consequence of whatever he did to me today, let it not come upon him. You see what Jesus did on the cross? They were killing the guy. He said, hold not this sin against them. Are you getting the point? People were killing him. He said, Father, please don't. Stephen, are you getting me? Hold not this sin against them. Let me leave Stephen next week. Hold on this sin against. Luke 6 verse 27. Luke 6 verse 27. We still stay with NLT. Luke 6 and verse 27. Supernatural love is not something you do by giddy giddy. It's not after this, Pastor, today and today. I'm going to show you the simple way. If it is not supernatural, you can't do it. You can't. It's not what I'm showing all over the place. Well, that's selfish love. The kind of love they show in the world is, if you do me, I do for you. He said, but to you who are willing to listen, are you willing to listen? But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Well, continue. We're going to read to verse 31. He said, bless those who curse you. So somebody comes and says, I curse you. You will not see good in this life. And after all of that, of course, you finish rejecting it in Jesus' name. I'm blessed. You now go down on your knees and say, Father, bless this brother. This man that cost me, let him prosper. You know, they almost beat me up in one family. Some of you know the story. I went to the family. Somebody had done witchcraft. Poisoned their pot of food. By the time I got there, three had died. So we went there. They had buried, so we went there by the power of God. We put the rest back. And they knew the person that did this. Are you getting me? And then you invite a man of God. And they were expecting me to say, and that's what I actually wanted to say. I wanted to say, everybody that did this, may he sleep like the chicken. May he... And that was what was on my mind. And then I opened my mouth and said, we know Jesus died for us. And I'd like you to know that you should love... Glory to God. I came out alive. That's why I see me here. Because they were not even taking it, and I really understood. This thing is not something you do by... It's a prayer for those who hurt you. Continue. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you will like them. You know what we're talking about? Love work, agape. People think it's just this thing that's showing on the internet, on Facebook, what people are doing all over the world. That's why I'm going to pray for, we're going to pray a lot in this series. Because when the die is cast, you cannot walk in love by the arm of the flesh. You can't. Forget all this. We love ourselves. It's easy to love people who love you. I didn't get a point. It's easy. Well, I'll show you two more. In Ephesians chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, we've read that before, verse 5. This always it's amazing when I read it. That is the epistles. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 5. Before he said that was four gospels. He said, Paul was shouting at the church that I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church? Because what was happening is they were having court cases and taking each other to court. So isn't there someone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? Now, pay attention, verse 6. But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Verse 7 is what I'm going to. He says, even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? So Paul is saying, they did injustice at you. So why don't you accept it? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Who is following me? You see, what Paul is demanding of these guys, you can't do it. Why not let them cheat you? I mean, your brother fights you and then takes what is yours. Paul is saying you try to get it back and it amounts to a court case where things have to go dirty and all that. He said, just let it go. Leave the land. I'm using land because this is Igbo land. Leave it land. He said, just let the land be. He said, no, nobody can match on my head, though. I will show you the other side of me. You know, we're waiting to see the other side. You see what Paul said in Ephesians 5 verse 2? He said, love one another, even as Christ has loved the church. As God, for Christ's sake, has loved the church. Ephesians 5 verse 2. As God. So, the model of love is showing us is the model of Christ. What did Christ do? He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice. So Paul is saying, you must love others to the point that you can sacrifice your life for them. I didn't get the point. You must love people to the point that you can give your life for them. He said, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to God. He said, that's the example. This is only possible by the help of the supernatural. only possible. The normal love they have out there, I love you, you love me, fine. Anybody can achieve that one. But when it comes to real love work, for what it really is, if God doesn't help you, you can't do it. If it is not by the empowerment, and that's what I'm going to show you, that's why one of the things God did in salvation is to begin to make it possible. Well, for instance, first way God made this possible is that he gave us his nature. Look at 1 John 4 verse 16. But I'm going to show you why it is possible that believers can walk in love like this. And I'll show first of all why it is possible. And I'll close by showing you how you can improve your love walk. Because it's actually possible. It's only God that can help you. Only from the Bible that I can learn it. Go back to King James. He said, he that loveth not. Okay, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Talk back to me. God is what? So what is the perfect definition of God? Love. You can call him whatever. The mountain mover, iron breaker, whatever. The perfect, the Bible never said God is mountain mover. He can say God is a miracle worker. That is what he does. But as per definition, as per who he is, God is not, he didn't say God is, God loves us. He says God is love. Now, watch. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So what is God? What is God? Okay, what does it mean to dwell in God? To dwell in, what does it mean to dwell in love? To dwell in God. That's what we're talking about. This verse actually reads, God is agape. So that's what we call it, the God kind of love. Know that if you're not in God, you can't have it. Now, see how what God did, verse 17. Watch. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because, everybody, as he is, so are we. So, according to verse 16, how is God? God is love. Now, verse 17 said, as he is, so how is he? How are we? So, the first thing God did in making sure that we walk in love is by making us exactly what he is. Sam, love. Say it again. The same way God is love, the man that has believed in Jesus is agape too. As he is, so are we. He didn't say as he is, so should we be. Because that's where we can teach love work from. As he is, so are we. How are you now? You are love. Exactly how God is. Are you following me? Exactly the kind of person God is. Exactly the nature that works in God. You know the Bible put it this way. He said that he has partakers of his divine nature. That his divine nature is full of love. Come on, are you following? And he has made us to partake of that nature. So the believer sitting right there is a love being. That's why when I hear people say things like, forget that one, I can't forgive that guy. You are lying. And you've not started walking in the reality of who you truly are. The believer who he truly is that he is love. As he is, so are we. How is he? He is love. How are we? We are love. Let me see how we follow to this point. Let me show you 1 John 2 verse 8. 1 John 2 verse 8. We've read it before, but look at it again so that you see something you missed. A new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is what? Come on. Did you leave your voice at home? Okay, so let me hear you. Which thing is true in him and what is true in him and in you? That new commandment. Probably like amplified. There is something that is true in God that is also true in you. He said, yes, I'm writing you a new commandment, which is true, is realized in him and in you. So the same way it is working in God, that's how it is working in me. I thought you'd say amen. I thought you would rejoice about that. The same way it is working in God, that is how it is working in me. The same love that works in the Father works in me. He said the thing is realized in him. The thing is realized in you. That's where you begin to see that the kind of love we've been talking about this morning is actually possible. But it's only possible to the supernatural man. Because it's only realized in the believer. Which thing is realized in him and in you? Look at it. Why is it realized in him and in you? Because the darkness is clearing away. And the true light is already shining in you. Are you getting me, guys? Because of that light of Jesus in your heart, this is possible. It's realized in me. Say, love works in me. Say, the love of God is realized in me. Say, the same way God is, that's how I am. So, how is God? How is God? How is Henry? How is blessing? Are you sure? How is blessing? How is Emmanuel? How is Jeremiah? How is Jennifer? How are you? You are loved. That's the truth. The same nature. So find out what's your neighbor's name. Have you found out his name? So you look at the person. If the guest's name is Debbie, say Deborah is love. Call the person. That is who you are. And you must begin to see yourself like that. Because that's where love work starts from. That's where supernatural love starts from. When you realize that this same thing working in God is working in you. The same thing that is working in Jesus that could make him give up his life. That same thing, that same nature is now working inside of the believer. Another way Paul will put it in Romans 5 verse 5, which we quote all the time. He said, the love of God is shed abroad. Put it up. He said, King James. He said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. So the day you receive Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost, he poured love into your heart. The very love of God. So we don't preach love from the other side. I walk in love so that God will. No. The first thing is, you are already like that. And that's where you find out that Jesus is just beautiful. Whatever he wants you to do, he makes you like that. Jesus is beautiful. Whatever he wants you to do, he makes you like that. He now makes you like that and begins to demand it of you. Why is he demanding it of you? Because he has made you like that. He wants you to walk. He gives you legs. And he now says, walk. It would be crazy to ask you to walk without giving you legs. God cannot be placing those kind of demands on us if he has not put that nature in us. By the time he was talking to the disciples in four gospels, it was an impossible thing for them to do. They were just talking. They were looking at him. Oh, yes, sir. Until he now died and rose again and they put their faith in him and he poured that love into them. He poured that love into their hearts. And so we can say we are full of love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. So it begins to show you that it's actually very possible and actually easy to walk in this God kind of love. Possible, easy. If you think about it with your natural sense, it's impossible. I can show you more scriptures. So the kind of things God demands of us is impossible. You reason with a natural sense, it doesn't make sense. But then, he now says, I know you can. So I'm going to put my nature. That my nature is love. So, if you think God is so good, he loves us, God cannot hurt, God cannot kill, God can, when you are done saying all those things, you are talking about yourself too. That same thing that is making God unable to hurt, unable to kill, unable to hate, is working in you. Do you understand me? How can you nail somebody to the cross and right there on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. On the cross. I don't get the point. The picture in Nigerian movies is that when you are trying to bury somebody alive, the person is cursing the entire village. Did you not watch that film? Or those movies? He said, as far as you've killed me, nobody will not hear the cry of a male child in this village. That's the picture.
Hallelujah. But Jesus, they catch him and they're killing him. He's saying, Father, please, don't hold it against them. That kind of love is out of this world. Out of this world. Out of this world. The love is, if somebody is fighting you, that's it. What kind of love? You fight the person back. That's why you monitor me, you die. You touch me by accident, you die by correction. The first I heard that, that one blew me out. You know, I was like, okay, wait, the person touched me by accident. That took me out totally. So I just mistakenly just let me tell you a story. You see, the wickedness in the heart of man is much. Only the love of Jesus can fix those things. This last Christmas, there's a man happened in my village, and the guy, he, you know, trap that they set in village, all these trap they set in villages. Someone set trap, and then his dog, like Nketa, was passing through, and the trap caught the dog. And the dog died. And then he goes to the idol. An idol. I don't know how to speak it in English now. But the claim that, and now reported, all he said was, anybody that killed my dog, let the person die too like my dog. That it took three people. You know how such idols work? It takes the first person, went to the second, went to the third. And kept going until the family now went and appeased the man. Because of dog. I mean, you see, that is the heart of man. And he saw them die, you know. First they say, uh-huh. Second person, uh-huh. Top three people. You see, Satan lives in the heart of some people. You see, this way God lives in your heart. I'm not joking. This is where God is in your heart. Satan is in some people's hearts. That's why there are some things, some demands you cannot place on an unbeliever. You can't keep it. It only takes the love of God to live in his heart to start thinking straight. Dog. Request for the money. We'll buy 5 dogs for you. And the dog is a cook. If you don't understand what I say, just leave it. There's no English word for it, so let's leave it. There's no English word, so. Won't he cook a dog like that? It's fine. And if it's German Shepherd, you know these very expensive dogs that you spent money to raise. All these dogs that used to chop shit up and down. And you find that it's really not about the dog. Do you understand? It's not that, he doesn't really care about the dog. It's just it's an opportunity to do evil. I didn't get the point. It's an opportunity to deal with them. Hallelujah. So, you see that way wickedness can be extreme in the world. God has poured his love in our heart that we can be extreme with love. Do you understand me? We can be so extreme and extravagant with the love of God. We can. Now, so first it is possible because it's in our hearts. Now, and this love of God in our heart is perfect. You cannot improve on it. You cannot. It's perfect. However, you can learn, and that's what we're going to do throughout this month. I'm just laying the foundation today. You can learn how to walk in it better. And I'll just say one today, which is the basic, the foundational way to begin to grow that your love work and begin not to grow the love itself. The love is perfect. I've told you everything of God is perfect. You cannot improve on it. However, you can improve on your use. For instance, the Bible says, building up yourself in your most holy faith. What the Bible will not say is building up your faith. Mm-mm. It says building up yourself because the faith in you is the faith of God. So you build up yourself in the faith. Are you getting the point?
Are you getting it? The anointing of God is perfect in you. You cannot say, you cannot improve on the anointing. Well, that's what today. The Spirit of God is perfect. You cannot improve on it. But you can improve on your walk with the Spirit. Your walk in the Spirit that already lives in you. Do you understand me? The love of God already lives in you. You cannot get more love. The day you got born again, all of the love of God came into you. But you can improve on your walk in that love. And the way to improve on it is simple. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? He said, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. What is he talking about? Walk in love. How will you walk in love? As Christ also has loved us. So he's showing us the key to walking in love. To walking in agape. The key to walking in agape or in supernatural love, whatever you call it, is to know how Christ has loved us. So the key to walking in love is to learn the love from Christ. Are you getting the point? Is to learn the love. That's why if I gather a group of 30 believers and I teach them for 1 month every day and I'm telling them, walk in love, love your neighbor, they can go out and begin to do good works. But if I gather a group of 30 believers too and I begin to tell them things, teach them about the love of God, how God has loved them without stressing it, they will begin to walk in love better than the other people. Because the key to walking in love is not telling people to walk in love. Everybody knows this and I've been saying this morning. But that is, I get to the point. The key to it is walk in love as Christ. Put up like NLT or any other translation. As Christ has loved us. He said, live a life filled with love. How will you do that? Following the example of Christ. So how to walk in love is actually to learn about the love of Christ. To learn the love of Christ. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Walk in love as Christ has loved the church. 1 John 4 verse 8, of course. 4 verse 8, not 5 verse 8. Glory to God. Amen. Put up King James. Bro Michael, you've been amazing today on the projector. So let's appreciate Bro Michael. He's been very amazing. Hallelujah. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the character of God, a person of God, is that he's love. Now, how did God prove this is love? 1 John 3:16. The way God proved his love, because I'm going to take the next 15 minutes before we close, to share with you on the love of God. Because it's by learning how he has loved us that we see how we can love others. Do you understand me? When I keep you, if we even see how we can love him. I'm going to give you an example. You want to get believers to love God. It's not by calling them to a meeting and telling them, love God. Love God. You see, the law places demands on us. But it doesn't tell us how we can fulfill those demands. If you gather and tell them love, they know they should. They don't know how to. Are you getting me? Just like you want a girl to fall in love with you as a guy. And you meet the girl and telling her, love me. Do you understand the point? Fall in love with me. It will make it happen. But then you find the answer is, I can begin to do things for the girl without even being there. And then imagine I'm in the United States. And I'm doing stuff for the girl. And then somebody keeps telling the girl, somebody got you an iPhone. Somebody got you a shoe. Somebody. The more I'm talking about the goodness of that guy abroad. Do you understand me? So how to love God is not by. You see, that's one thing preachers don't know. How to get people to love God is not by challenging them. Will you love God? Why are you not loving God? The guy knows it. He doesn't know how to love God. He has never seen God. The only way is to begin to show him how much God has done for him. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive the love of God? Because he laid down his life. He now said, we ought to. So how can we lay down our lives for the brethren? When we learn how he laid down his life for us. So you see, it is possible to actually sacrifice yourself for the brethren. But it is by learning How? You see, if we can grow in our knowledge of how much God loves us, how much love he has shown us by laying down his life for us, it becomes possible to go all the way. You know, when you learn this, you can go all the way out for the brethren. And are wondering, people are even complaining, what is even your own? You are giving too much. You are forgiving. That guy is marching on your head. You are just scaring. You are even pretending. Stop all this, your goody two shoes attitude. But the thing is, it's not goody two shoes anything. It's just there. It's just flowing. Because when you begin to learn how he has loved us, it becomes easy and natural for that same love in you to begin to flow. And the love of God is not seen just in that he's giving you a cow, he's giving you money. That's not actually the true proof of God's love. Hereby perceiving the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. I want to talk to you briefly before I close on the fact that God really loves you. And when I'm done in the next 10 minutes, the love of God is going to overshadow you and fill your heart. You are going to begin, you're going to fall in love with Jesus afresh this morning. And that love will flow from your heart and begin to pour out to the brethren. Because that's the key to supernatural love. That everything I'm going to teach within this month is on this foundation. That the love of God is in our hearts. And as we learn more how much he has loved us, that love begins to pour out. That love begins to pour out. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. How did God manifest his love towards us? Because that God sent his only begotten son in the world that we might live through him. So, God did not actually prove his love towards you by giving you a car. God will give you a car. He will give you houses. But that's not actually the major proof of his love towards you. How much is car? The guy says silver and gold are mine. How do you get the point? So how much he made all these things is nothing to him. The true proof of his love is that God became man. Took on the form of man. Humbled himself to the form and the nature of man to die for man. That's love right there. Look at verse 10. He said, herein is love. Not that we loved God. You see, the foundation for love work is not telling people to love God. The foundation is that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That is love right there. If you want to grow your love nature, you need to know how much. To grow your love nature, you need to know how much he has loved us. And I can tell you, friends, he has loved us by giving his son for us as a propitiation. And then it becomes very easy to walk in love when you begin to learn this. In case you walked into this meeting and you were not so sure whether Jesus loves you. Not the last time I thought on this, I've not wanted to post that testimony and all. The last time I thought on this, that was our retreat, you remember? Talked around the love of God. Many people went, some people had crazy experiences that night. How many of you were in that retreat, if you can remember? A couple of persons wrote to me, one particular person wrote to me about how, because that night, if you remember, for me, I was just sitting down in my car, I was going over the love of God in my heart. People had visions of Jesus that night. Some in their dreams, some even had physical appearance of Jesus walking into their room. And had discussions with them. You see, when you want, you see, if you fill your heart with the love of God, I get to me, and how much he has done for us, it becomes very easy to love him. Hallelujah. Very easy to love him and to love the brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. Whew. 1 Peter 2. Hallelujah. It's put up like NLT because of our time. I wanted us to read all of this, but then
He said, he never sinned, talking about Jesus, nor ever deceived anyone. Continue. He never sinned. He didn't deceive anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Verse 24. He says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. This is what Jesus did for us. When they hit him, he didn't fight back. You know why he did not fight back? He was thinking about you. Say, I remember all you've done for me. You know that song, right? Don't worry, just sit for now. Stay. Your perfect sacrifice. Oh my God. So I worship you today. I worship you today. When you put your eyes on what he has done and how much he has loved you, love work becomes possible. Love work becomes possible, becomes simple. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, what we do see is Jesus, who was given a position little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he will now is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. The death you deserved, the wages of sin is death. That death you deserved, he took it. Do you understand? That's the love of God. The death you should have died, he died it. Verse 10. The death you should have died, he died it. Just the next verse. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader. So he wanted, look at the reason Jesus died was not because of you. He wanted to bring us into his glory. So Jesus had to die. And when you hear Jesus died, I know Jesus is the Son of God in a sense, right? But actually, it is God dying. It is God taking on the form of man. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So the guy came as man and died. For you. For you. Christians don't know this enough. This is the only, even if you call us a religion, this is the only religion where we claim that God died for man. Every other religion is about what you can do for God. In Christianity, we teach that God died for man. God died for man. God died for man. He took the death we deserved. And then he died it. You know, the way the Old Testament renders this is very beautiful. In Isaiah 52 verse 14, he began to talk about the suffering of Jesus on the cross. We were just reading Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 then. He began to wind down. He began to talk about the suffering of Jesus. He said, but many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. That was Jesus right on the cross. And for you, right? For you. When I think of all he has done for me, it is almost impossible to say, that's what we talk about forgiveness. You think about his forgiveness. It is almost impossible to say, I cannot forgive anybody. Do you know how much? That's what Paul is teaching. He said, look at how God has loved you. Learn it. As you are learning it, that love will begin to rise from your inside. I get to the point. To receive this kind of love that you give. And I'm grateful for your grace.
And because of how you poured out yourself, I have gone to sing a song of Jesus. Say, la, amen. Oka ka oka anu na betaya da simela manu baneko na mananash ezemon.
Hallelujah. You know, message said, but he did it. He said he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look immune face, disfigured, past recognition. Now, all that for you. You see, we are still on the physical, whatever he did on the cross. Because there is also a spiritual suffering. You know, I've taught you on that. There was, by the time he descended into hell, do you know the real suffering of Christ was not the Cain? The real suffering was to carry the sin of the whole world and the punishment for the whole world and carry it on his head. That was the real suffering. Do you understand? The fact that he cried, at the time he looked, everywhere was dark. He said, my God, why have you forsaken? Because it has never, read the whole Bible, Jesus has never called God, God in the Bible. Never. He always calls him Father. That was the first time he shouted, God! Because at that point, the sin of the whole world was on him. The punishment. I said, even if you go to hell, you cannot see what Jesus suffered on the cross. He didn't go to hell for Debbie alone. He went to hell for Debbie. He went to hell for Nelo. He went to hell for Pastor Casey. He went to hell for Tisha. He went to hell. He suffered the punishment all of us deserved. And that's the love of God. You understand the point? And so, you see, when you think about this, you find that you know how much he has loved us. Isaiah 53 verse 1. How much he has loved us. And so, when we teach on supernatural love, we are not talking about an impossible thing. We are talking about something we learn, probably like NLT. We learn by looking right at Jesus and seeing how he has done it. We're going to read that Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to 11. So, he said, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows. Every time you read this chapter, he's talking about what Jesus did for you. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. And that was the truth. It's not like we all changed and now said, because you guys are good, but I'm going to go for you. We didn't care. But he didn't care too. Again, we didn't care about him. But he didn't care about how we felt. He was still loving us all the same. I get it. So you looked past my sins, my guilt, my shame, and poured your love. We didn't care about him. But he looked beyond all these things. Woo! He said it was our... Look up at verse 53. I wanted to see it. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. But what did he do? Verse 4. Even though we did not care, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God. You see what they were doing to him on the cross? They thought he was suffering for his sins. They thought it was a punishment for his own sins. Continue. Hallelujah. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be healed. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord, we strayed away. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That's the gospel right there. That's the gospel. That's the message we preach. That's where we stand. That is why we are saved today.
That's why we're saved. And so when you understand the love of God and how deep, I'm going to close with that scripture. We're going to pray. We'll pray to that time. Continue. Verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep silent before the shearers, he didn't open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants. You know, the guy did not marry. It was untimely death. No descendants. My life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Okay, of course we know the story, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. That's talking about you. We are the many descendants that his death has brought. When he was not a person, he will enjoy a long life. How can you say that somebody that has died will enjoy a long life? Because the plan is that he will die, and through us, he will continue living. So he is dead, but he's living long. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. We'll stop at verse 11. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. So Jesus is happy. He's not crying. He's not feeling bad. No, look at what everything I passed through. He's looking at you that you are now saved, and he's satisfied. He's seeing that you are now sanctified. You are now righteous. You now carry the divine nature, and he's satisfied. He's satisfied. When you see how much he has done for you, love fills your heart for him. And then nothing anybody does to you will ever matter. You see, I can't forgive him. No, that is not true. When you know the love of God. Father, I pray that in this minute, the revelation of your love floods this entire place and engulfs the hearts of these ones. May they see. May they understand the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of your love and all that you've done for us. On the cross. So I read four more scriptures, then we'll pray. 1 Peter 2:22. He did all this for you. All this for you. He said he never sinned. No, I've read it before. I have read it, but I'm reading again. Nor ever deceived anyone. Continue. He was quoting from this book of Isaiah 53 that we just read. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who judges fairly. Always. Verse 24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Now verse 25, just next verse. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned. I'm trying to show you that everything he did was because of us. He wanted us to turn back to God. He wanted us to become God's friends. He wanted us to become one with God. So he took all the pain. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. What do we see? Or what we do see rather is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yet by God's grace, Jesus tasted death. Continue. For everyone. Verse 10. For everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many sons, children into glory. It was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Verse 11, guys. And I say, so now, Jesus and the one he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Put up like King James of this. That is the effect of his death on the cross. Put up King James. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. So he died and took all those pain to make you one with him. Do you understand the love of God right there? For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He has made us one with him. That's the gospel. That is the love of God. That that is how, that is how we begin to see how much God has loved us, how much He has shown us. And when you learn this and stay on it and stay on it, it becomes easy and possible to love God the way He should be loved and love our neighbors the way we should love them. Hebrews 10 verse 12. I'll just show you one more He did for us, then I will lead us to pray a prayer. What He did for us. Whew. But this man, after he had suffered, offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. After he sat down, verse 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies obeyed his footstool. Now verse 14, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering, how many offerings? He had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Say, I'm perfect. I'm sanctified. How are you all of this? By the sacrifice of Jesus. He loved us, made us perfect, sanctified us. He took all those pain. Jesus did not need to die to become God's son. You know, remember I explained that last Sunday. He didn't need to die to become God's son. He was already God's son. He did all of that because of us. Hallelujah. You know these songs that says, when I think of the goodness. All He has done. Hallelujah. Say, praise God, pray. Let's do it again. Say, when I think, when I think. Ephesians 3 verse 16 with NLT. And all He has done. Say, my very soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise. Praise God for sin. I pray, and we're going to pray shortly, that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Verse 17. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts. As you trust in Him, your roots, and this is my prayer for you this year, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Now verse 18, this is where I want us to pray for. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. The love of God is high, is deep, is wide, is long. Paul was using different ways to explain how much this love is. Deep, high, wide, long. He said, may you understand it. And I'm praying for you that you will understand it. Read it again, everybody. May you have the power to understand as all God's people should. What should you understand? Wide, long, high, how deep His love is. Now see verse 19. See verse 19. Go rather. May you experience the love of Christ. It is too great. If you don't understand. That's what I wanted to see. King James will say the love that passeth all understanding. As your brain cannot carry it. Your brain cannot carry the love of God. How someone could go that far for someone. That's why when you think about it, you think that just forging these things. He said, it passed knowledge. It passed knowledge. And when you understand it, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. You will be able to release the fullness of God in you. It is the understanding of the love of God that makes you able to release the life of God that is inside of you. The love of God. You need to know it. You need to know it. Probably I can't say again. This verse. He said,
may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So it becomes easy to walk in love. It becomes easy to love people. It becomes easy to release the life of God in you, because you know, come on, you know the love of God. This is prayer for you, because that is where spiritual love now becomes possible. Put up like message. We read verse 18 and 19 with message. And then I will close. He said you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Do you like the word extravagant? It's extravagant. He said, reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Is it the love of God? You look beyond me, yo. Let's sing. Stand your feet. You look beyond. He said, live full lives and live in the fullness. How to live and flow in the fullness of God is to know, to see, to understand His love. That's where the love of God becomes, that's where spiritual love becomes a reality. It's not what we're learning all over the place.
See, I'm the one, say,
I'm the one that you have shown mercy. That you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
Say, I'm the very one you've shown mercy.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy.
You have shown me 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 mercy.
Say, I'm the very one that you have shown your mercy.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy.
Oh.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
One more time. Say, I'm the very one that you have shown your mercy.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
See, everlasting,
everlasting, precious love of God.
Sing it again. Precious love of God, sing it.
Precious love of God.
Oh, what a savior. Oh, what a salvation.
Oh, what a savior. Oh, what a salvation.
We have received by grace.
We have received.
We mean like 4 to 3 times. And you stop.
Say, everlasting.
Precious love,
oh, what a savior! Oh, what a salvation!
What a savior!
Hey,
what a salvation! We have received.
Two more lines. Lift your hands.
To everlasting.
Precious love of God.
Oh, what a savior.
Oh, what a salvation.
We have received by grace. One last time. With everything in you. As you think about His love, His mercy, is singing.
Precious love of God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.